for Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting soul set free, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, our every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. 1134.
From God's holy word, Firstly, a few verses from Malachi chapters 3 and 4, and then from John's Gospel chapter 10. Beginning with Malachi chapter 3, commencing at verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, commencing at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth, and ye shall grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now we will turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10, and read the first 18 verses. John, chapter 10. From verse 1 to 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by his name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do earnestly pray for thy help now, thy strengthening. For, O Lord, we are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us by thy mighty hand. O Lord, we do pray for thy help and strengthening. Thou knowest our sins, our weakness, our oft murmurings and rebellings. O Lord, do help us. We do need so thy favour. O Lord, as we come once more in thy presence, O Lord, grant us thine almighty help, that there may be that outpouring of the Spirit into the hearts of each one here. There may be those who are brought from darkness into light, those in trouble delivered, those burdened under their sins, crying out for mercy, that may know that thou art their Saviour, that their sins are forgiven them. O Lord, those that are in need of strengthening, to be upheld, encouragement, to be blessed in their souls, and to go in the meat of these things, in the strength of these things, this meat, 40 days, 40 nights, like Elijah of old. O Lord, may we know the heavenly touch to strengthen us in the way, that thou wouldst make a way where humanly there is no way, to grant us that grace to cast our all upon thee. O Lord, do not leave us to vanities. O Lord, do grant that true seeking. O Lord, do work in the hearts of young and old, that we may truly seek thee with a whole heart. And then thy word is sure, is true, that they that seek shall find. The door shall be opened. O Lord, we do pray, O Lord Jesus, who art the door, that way may be opened unto eternal life. Those that are burdened over their sins, longing to know that good hope in their souls, that thou mightest give it unto them. O Lord, we do pray that may be that increase granted in the church. Those who have known and tasted that thou art gracious, but have not yet openly professed thy name, may be strengthened and encouraged to come forward. O Lord, we do pray there may be that building up in the most holy faith. There may be those around about this chapel who may be drawn by thee to come and to hear thy word. O Lord, that they may be blessed in so hearing. O Lord, how powerless we are, yet thou hast bidden us to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. O Lord, we do pray here and elsewhere in our nation, and may be those who are wrought upon by almighty grace, by the Spirit to touch their souls. Many seek to touch the intellect or touch the man, as it were, with entertainments and all sorts of other things to attract into a place of worship. But, O Lord, we need that thou shouldest touch the souls of men and women and children. to come and seek thee. O Lord, may we so be witnesses to thy glorious grace and majesty. Setting forth the glorious truths of the gospel and looking unto thee to come with power, O Lord. Our eyes are up unto thee. O Lord, do stir us up. Do not leave us to lukewarmness or to wander in error, complacency, slothfulness, fatalism, or how many of the devious ways and snares and traps that Satan has set before us. O Lord, keep us in the right way. Do guide us, as we've sung, by the Holy Spirit, to guide us at every step of the way. O Lord, we would pray for thy rich blessing to rest upon the church and congregation here, upon the young people, the little ones, those at home caring for the little children, those that are with child and expecting. Do be with them to deliver them, we do pray. Be with those in older age, in weakness. O Lord, do be those that are in trouble or loneliness, disappointment or in bereavement. Thou hast be with those that are in need of thy hand to direct. Do be with those in temptation to deliver them, that they may look unto thee, O Lord Jesus, as thou didst say unto Satan, it is written. Or may we look unto thy holy word in that time of temptation. O Lord, do draw our affections unto thee, O Lord Jesus. And O Lord, we do beg for the sending forth of thy word throughout this world, those in other lands in trouble, distress, in poverty, in darkness, in persecution, that thou hast be with them to help, especially those who are imprisoned for the testimony of thy name. Do visit them, and grant them thy favour and thy deliverance. O Lord, we do pray for thy rich blessing as the word goes throughout this world. O Lord, as we send forth thy word, we are so dependent upon thee that thou mightest be pleased to bless it, to water the seed sown, to favour such that it springs forth and bears fruit. And O Lord, thus we do pray this evening, and that which we seek to sow, do grant us that strength, thy help, thy preservation, that we may set forth these things faithfully according to thy holy word. And O Lord, do raise up more labourers, ministers of the gospel, to preach the everlasting gospel. And O Lord, appear for us then, we pray. We thank thee for thy goodness, thy mercy unto such unworthy sinners as we are. Do then be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 954. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. 954.
May the Lord help us once more in coming to his holy word this evening. And I would particularly bring before you John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Concerning the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The words that are particularly rested upon my spirit this evening. In verse 3, and he calleth his own sheep by name. This is Christ, the Word of God. He calleth his own sheep by name. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. His own sheep. That is the wonderful privilege of a true believer. That personal relationship with their God and Saviour. To hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. To hear the call. Hear the voice of their beloved. He calleth his own sheep by name. And if we are, I find it hard to express it with words, but the Lord calls his beloved people, every true believer, by name, personally, showing forth his love, his care, his power. If God be for us, who can be against us? As we read in Malachi, that's why I read that short passage at the end of Malachi, about those that feared the Lord, and they spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. What an inexpressible, unspeakable blessing it is for the Lord to say unto a sinner, thou art mine. How can a sinner who is so unworthy, so far from God, naturally speaking, how can be that the Lord should say, thou art mine, come, rather than depart. It is the eternal purposes of God, in mercy and love, the all-prevailing, all-powerful, all-gracious sacrifice of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He calleth his own sheep by name, his own sheep, a purchased possession, those for whom the Lord has laid down his precious life. I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. Redemption means to buy back, to redeem that which was lost. In a sense, there was that loss. We trace back to the fall of Adam and Eve. That heeding of the voice of Satan rather than the voice of God. That casting of doubt upon the word of God. Yea, hath God said. And that entering into a discussion with Satan, listening to Satan, considering that what God had commanded and given unto Adam and Eve, it was somehow deficient, somehow not right. There was that which they had been barred from that should have rightly been theirs, and they fell under the temptation, charging in their estimation God to be unjust. There to be something to be gained from not obeying God. And it was all a snare, a cheat of the devil. Thus they fell, they sinned, came under the sentence of death. And so we are all partakers of that fallen nature from Adam and Eve. Lost. But the Lord has most graciously sent forth his dearly beloved Son to shed his precious blood, to lay down his life, to redeem his people. That's why we believe what is called particular redemption, which is scriptural. I lay down my life for the sheep. That is why we believe it. Not out of tradition, but it's an expression of scriptural truth. There is that particular redemption. The Lord personally, individually, bore the sins of his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, said the angel. For he shall save his people from their sins. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. That almighty work of redemption. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There is no disappointment at the throne of God. Not like we have things that we seek to do and we cannot. We try to persuade people to do something for us and they refuse. We perhaps try to show friendship to somebody and we're rejected. Perhaps we see as parents, we try to help our children and they won't listen. But here, the Lord, he calleth his own sheep by name. The sheep hear his voice. There is that power that goes forth. Not to propose, but call by grace. An almighty power to call. And when his sheep, they hear his voice, they know it is the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking unto them. Now the Lord calls his people out of the most wretched of places. We see in Scripture those who are called out of the most degraded places, the most terrible places, the least, in human reasoning, the least likely to ever have been sheep. Of that mad Gadarean, that one who was possessed with a legion of devils, who went about naked, crying out and dwelt amongst the tombs, cutting himself. Demon-possessed. It is a sign of the Lord's judgment upon our nation that we see here more and more of such things, in even our own land. And truly, if the Lord is pleased to grant revival in this country, there will be some most remarkable cases. Like the mad Gadarean, delivered from that demonic possession. Not just a madness, but a most awful demonic possession one who was utterly ruled by demons. The Lord came. There was the power of the voice of Almighty God delivering that man. And we see that he was then clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. There was that evidence now that he was one of the sheep. Well, in the eternal counsels of God, he was one for whom we read in Ephesians chapter 1, in the commencement of that epistle. Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We see there it is all of grace, all of mercy. There can be nothing of ourselves. It's not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh. Salvation is of God. It is the will of God. This cuts away at all human endeavours of ourselves to be saved, to do multitudes of good works, good intentions, sacrificing ourselves to earn salvation. It utterly cuts it away. Salvation is of the Lord. But yet, when we are called by the almighty power of God, our lives are to be a living sacrifice unto his praise and glory. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. There is that appointed time when the Lord calls. Some of us who may be in religion may have been hearing the voice of the minister, the voice of the deacon, the voice of the hymns, voice of our parents. But there comes a time when we hear the voice of God speaking personally. In one sense, the Lord does speak. He's spoken today. We've heard the reading of his holy word. He's spoken to each one of us. What is spoken of here is an effectual call, a powerful call, where the word of God enters into the soul. We hear the Lord. We hear the Lord's voice within. And it is a voice of power. It is not a voice to propose, but to call. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Chapter like this cuts across all notion that everybody has a free choice, some notion of divine fairness as man would judge it. We live in a day when we want to have fairness, and in one sense it is right that you should. That which the word of God speaks of as equity. But it is sinful human reason to think that God should, according to our rules of fairness, give everybody a fair choice, a fair chance, so people say. But our Lord Jesus Christ didn't lay down his life to make it possible that men, women, children could be saved if they but chose. That is not what the word of God says. It's what many pulpits might be declaring up and down this country and elsewhere. It is not the word of God. The sheep hear his voice, And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We read later in the chapter, again when the Lord Jesus Christ spake, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Truly, the doctrine of teaching of particular redemption, that Christ redeemed those given unto him by God the Father, redeemed that number known unto God, out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. And they, as the Lord said, they shall be mine. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. There we see that the Lord says they shall be mine. And they are to be part of that treasure, his treasures. When I make up my jewels, or the margin, the translator's note is that it could be rendered special treasure, that which is most valuable unto the Lord. What a glorious privilege that we who are vile, worthless of ourselves should be amongst the Lord's jewels. His special treasure. It is only as we are thus clothed in the righteousness of Christ, in union with him, as he has laid down his life, redeemed us from all iniquity, from the bondage of Satan. There we are made sons. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love it, these things are to escape my words and manner of saying. They are so great, the love of God, to unworthy sinners, that he should have called us, called his own sheep by name. As parents, we may look at our children and we have that natural bond of love to them. And we should sacrifice those things for our children. And take that care over them and that watchful care over them. But think of our Lord, God the Father, sent forth his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved. And he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man. Our Lord Jesus Christ lay down his life at Calvary, the most unspeakably cruel, painful, distressing death, to suffer such shame and ignominy that he should call his sheep by name, that we should be his own sheep. What love is shown for our Lord in his love. True love is sacrificial, as I've often said before. I must say again, because we're in an age where you might hear it in many quarters, or hear some of the profane music that and songs that go around talk about love. And young people talking about love, but so often it's lust. Not a true love. Where there is true love is sacrificial. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is sacrifice. Christ offered himself a sacrifice. There we see love. There we see that God is love. To save sinners who have utterly transgressed, broken the holy law of God. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is sacrifice beyond expression. The one who is so almighty, so holy, should send his only begotten Son to save the vilest. And we have that scriptural exposition of the, well, as far as man is capable of understanding such mysteries, according to the good pleasure of his will, as the will of God, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It is to praise his grace. Grace is unmerited mercy. Just that that there should be that people formed for his praise, to praise him, who are so unworthy, but that we should show forth his grace, to show forth his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. How much it is that when we hear of the almighty power of God, the omnipotence of God, the goodness of God, the majesty of God, when our ears are opened to hear that voice, brings us to fall in the dust before him, to confess that we indeed are sinners, not just with our lips, but from the heart. Such it was with the publican who came into the temple, crying out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There, that voice, that divine voice, had called. He could no longer go in that proud way, that gathering of ill-gotten gains, that amassing of money for the gratifying of the flesh. Now his sins were laid bare. His conscience struck down, his guilt and condemnation under the law before his eyes. Yet where there's that heavenly call, yet there was faith, that gift of God, that he should come, not like Judas Iscariot. He came into the courts of the temple and threw the 30 pieces of silver on the floor and went out and hung himself. There was remorse. He knew he had done wrong. Threw the money on the floor in front of those who had given it to him to betray Christ. There was no divine voice to call him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he came up to our Lord and said, Master, Master, and betrayed Christ with a kiss. Because that was a sign, the one that he should kiss and greet in that Eastern customary way. That was the one to take in that darkness. Those that came out from the chief priests, they might have easily mistaken who it should have been, who was Christ to be taken. But Judas, knowing our Lord well, knew who was the Lord and would go up to him and greet him with a kiss. And that was the sign it was to be, that was Christ, the one to be taken. And I want us who thought, what must it have been Judas to look into the face of the Lord who he was betraying, to look into our Lord's eyes. What darkness and horror there was afterwards in the soul of Judas Iscariot. But how different that look of our Lord Jesus Christ to Peter. And Peter had denied our Lord oaths and curses. Had cursed, sworn oaths. I know not the man. And the Lord turned and looked upon him. That face that had been smitten, beaten, suffering, spat upon, looked upon Peter. And that broke Peter's heart and brought him to weep bitterly, repentance. True confession of sins. But he didn't go out and hang himself. For it was a look of love, a look of mercy, a look of reproof. For Peter had said only a matter of hours before, if all else deny thee, I will not. Peter was ready to go and die with Christ. So he thought, but he wasn't. There was a time that was yet to come when Peter was to lay down his life for the testimony of Jesus. But it was at the Lord's time, not at Peter's time. And Peter had to learn what was in himself. But the Lord looked in mercy. He calleth his own sheep by name. That look of mercy upon Peter. And it broke Peter's heart. He saw how he had betrayed the Lord, a good Lord, merciful Lord. Yet the Lord looked upon him. Now, when we consider the Lord's goodness to us, how it should break our hearts in our so many failings, rebellions, so many shortcomings in our prayers, when we are in great need, great trouble, and we pray unto the Lord for help and we seem to scarcely believe he will, seem to have even less than a grain of faith. Yet we see the Lord answering prayer, the Lord coming to our aid, though we are so unworthy of it. Now we see the grace of our God, the mercy of our God, that it's not the poverty of our prayers, but rather the riches in Christ Jesus that comes before the throne of God. He calleth his own sheep by name. When we pray for Jesus' sake, Lord Jesus Christ, the eternally beloved Son, co-eternal, co-equal with the Father, and through his work of redemption, of purchasing us unto himself, we are one with Christ. And thus pleading that precious name, coming unto him by faith, even faith as small as the grain of mustard seed. We read of one, I believe, Lord, help mine unbelief. There was unbelief fighting against faith. But yet, There was the victory through Christ. And we have to prove it is the Lord's goodness and mercy. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord will not leave his people. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. If God be for us, who can be against us? We might be forsaken by many others. We may fear being left, fearing to sink, crying out, Lord, help me. The Lord shall not leave any of his sheep to perish. That is, to perish eternally, to go to hell, to be utterly lost. Satan may try to persuade us and be very good at persuading us that surely this trial shall be our last. It'll all come to ruin. But the Lord has said, they shall be mine. It's his own sheep. Mark, what is the mark of a sheep? We see that if we go out into the fields and see the sheep have their owner's mark upon them. Or cattle have a brand, it's to signify who owns that sheep, or particularly the cattle are traceable. So maybe traced as to who they are. You may wonder whether you've got a mark on you, sometimes tempted, it's the mark of the beast, of Satan. But if you look at a cattle as to where that mark is placed, that the cattle can't see their own mark. So often that is the case. The Lord's people, they cannot see themselves, the marks, the signs of the Lord's to their ownership. And are very tempted as to, are they truly the Lord's or no? But some of those marks that we are the Lord's people, well, they hear his voice. When we hear the voice of the Lord, when we hear the word of God, does it not draw out a hope? Who can tell but the Lord will be gracious? Is there a drawing that, oh, but that I should know of the Lord? That was part of what brought that publican to the temple. He wanted mercy. He had that hope that there was a place where he may obtain mercy. Place of the sacrifice. The place where the Lord, all the promises in the Old Testament, where the Lord would look to those who came in repentance. In the Old Testament, there's Tabernacle, a temple of Solomon, where the mercy seat was. And truly spiritually he came to the mercy seat. He went to his house justified. There was a mark that indeed that he was the Lord's. That he come. That he come seeking mercy. That he come with that hope that the Lord would be merciful. Like the leper covered all over in leprosy. Leprosy, a type of sin. When our eyes are open, we see that we are utterly covered in sin throughout. All that we do and marred by sin, disobedience. Well, we see a mark of the word that is a sheep. We came to Jesus. Not according to the law, for according to the law he shouldn't have been there. Should have been cast out, crying out, unclean, unclean. But he came to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. There was a mark of a sheep that comes. Not so dragged along. But comes. Perhaps there was a time when we were dragged along to chapel, or maybe dragged along by various slavish feelings. I know in my own life there was a time suddenly when I had no longer my parents around to say that I should go to church. No longer was the money that was paid for attending and singing in the choir. No longer was all of those things, those things had gone, I'd left home. But what was raised up in my heart was a desire that I should come to a place of worship and to hear the word and to worship God. Many things ignorant there, didn't know hardly my left hand from my right hand, although I'd been raised up in the Church of England from infancy. Scarcely knew a thing, hadn't even cared to take a Bible with me to university. What would I need that for, I'd have thought. Well, it wasn't long before I was seeking the scripture, seeking a Bible, reading it. These are all marks. Are the sheep hear his voice, to hear the word of God, and to love to hear the name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. A sweet name to hear about Jesus, Saviour. For he shall save his people from their sins. That contrite spirit. Read again of the mark of the sheep in Isaiah. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, of a contrite spirit, that means sorrowful, and trembleth at my word. There is a hearing of the voice, trembling before God, rather than chafing under the word of God, rebelling against it, grinding one's teeth, so to speak, at it, but a bowing before the word, a trembling at it, a sitting at the feet of Jesus, a falling down before Jesus, knowing that only Jesus can do us good. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And truly, those that come to Jesus, seeking him with a whole heart, what is the word of God? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not might be, shall be. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give, not might give. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. How precious it is when, as it were, the word of the Lord is, Son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Our Lord will lead his beloved sheep, trembling, perhaps not in themselves wondering whether they are his sheep or not, but leads them out to a large place. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the green pastures. My cup runneth over. There the Lord leads out his sheep, his trembling ones that come, poor sinners. And the Lord shows unto them his love, his mercy, his grace, his favour, that they are his own sheep. We have that special calling to calleth his own sheep by name. And we have some examples. Indeed, perhaps it should be more of a meditation for me. It came to me even just as the service was beginning. Those examples where the Lord calls his sheep by name. As I was thinking about it, meditating upon it, just a few brief moments that I had, you see some beautiful examples of those who are the Lord's, being called by their name, where the Lord calls them by their name. First example I could find is that of Abraham. We read of the Lord calling or speaking, but here the Lord calls by name in chapter 15 of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, there was Abraham's name. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing as I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell, that is, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That is not just referring to Isaac, but the seed of the woman that was first promised unto Adam and Eve who had sinned, Christ, the seed. Abraham was called by name, Abraham. And there was that promise of the seed of the woman. And he was instructed to look up and see the stars in heaven, light in darkness, to look up. As we read in the book of Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos, Behold, I looked, and a door opened in heaven. Christ, the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, saith our Lord. I am, as we read here, I am the door, saith our Lord, the way. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham, by faith, believed the promise of the Lord. And the Lord counted it to Abraham for righteousness. So it is every true believer. They're believing upon the Lord. What's referred to as justification by faith. Abraham was justified by faith. There he stood justified before God. He was eternally justified in the eternal counsels of God, in the eternal covenant. But here, there was that transaction. And truly we know that Abraham would have known that of that blessing in his soul, that it wasn't an empty promise. He'd have known of the preciousness of that which had been revealed unto him. He believed in the Lord, and he, as God counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. And a little way on in this chapter, in chapter 15, verse 15 of Genesis, we read of the first occasion explicitly in the Bible where the word peace appears in the Bible. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. There is peace. Truly there is peace in the conscience, in the soul, when by faith we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Before there is no peace. But the Lord Jesus Christ has won, conquered, gained the victory, offered himself a sacrifice for sin, the propitiation for our sins, which brings favour, acceptance, peace. Here's our peace. Peace by the cross. Read one of the hymns that Jesus made. We are brought nigh unto God in peace. We are made nigh by the blood of blood of Christ. Read of Samuel. The Lord, that child Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. There was that call. Samuel at first did not know that it was the Lord. But the Lord came again and called, Samuel, Samuel. And he was instructed at length by Eli to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There was a lamb in Christ's flock. We have the most singular cases in the New Testament. Zacchaeus, that tax gatherer, publican. One of the, well, evidently notorious sinner. In Jericho, that cursed place. And when Jesus came to Jericho, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, that is Zacchaeus, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, called him by name. Jesus didn't have to be told, that's Zacchaeus up that tree. The Lord knew. The Lord called him by name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. What a change in that man. We believe there was a joyful change in his soul. It was certainly an evidence in his life. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. They didn't have to take hold of Zacchaeus and twist his arm and at the point of a sword say such things. No, there had been a more powerful work of love in his heart. There was a sign that he was one of the Lord's sheep, his own sheep, redeemed by precious blood. And finally there was Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Had those letters from the high priest, that authority of man, highest religious man, to go to Damascus and to round up and bind disciples of our Lord and bring them to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Lord called Saul, called Zacchaeus, called Abraham by name, called Samuel. And each one of his true sheep, hear that voice. It might not be that literal voice speaking your name, but in the heart, the voice of God, the word of God comes to call. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The Lord has gone before. Those whom the Lord hath called, those that are his, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In whatever place we come to, whatever distress, whatever necessity or need, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They are mine, saith the Lord. Are those jewels with the names of the tribe of Israel that were set in the breastplate that the high priest bore when he came into the Holy of Holies, showing forth Christ, bearing his sheep, the name of his sheep, his people upon his heart. When he comes into the Holy of Holies, the heavenly Holy of Holies. And surely none of his sheep shall be lost. He declares it in the chapter and elsewhere. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There may be many things that are trying to turn us aside. We're told to hold fast. We may feel our grip is slipping. Satan, as it were, trying to peel back our finger one after another, to stamp upon our fingers, to make us let go, to fall. But yet the Lord is greater than all. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man. The word man there is in italics. It means there is no literal word man. It's to make sense. So we shouldn't say that only applies to men. You might say, well, I'm not fearing a man might do it, but what about Satan? But it's an no, literally, is able to pluck them. There's no one. Neither men nor devils. None, literally, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £650, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, who hopes to address the Sunday school and administer the Lord's Supper. The collections today are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. 746.
Now, O Lord, do grant us thy blessing as we part. Do take us in safety to our homes this night, we pray, and do forgive that which has been amiss. But, O Lord, bless thine own word. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore.